This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. Let's get to it. Don't forget, it's also Cosell Day. Cosell's going to be here in an hour.
Ha ha.
Exactly. Honk, honk. And yet, Cam Inman at five, and I'm not looking to railroad him or anybody else.
No, of course not.
Like, that's like
you're just wondering, like, why?
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't understand. And so we're going to get into that. And this is not even a statement on the way Brock and Mac play quarterback. The statement is they're the quarterbacks. Are there any questions? Can you imagine if you were in the Ravens press conference yesterday morning? And everyone was like, all right, John Harbaugh, everybody, what questions do you have? Let's see. Number one, you guys going to elevate anybody off of the practice squad at linebacker Thursday? And the whole thing goes 14 minutes. And then just at the end, someone's like, oh, by the way, is Lamar playing? And John's like, oh, I'm glad you asked. Yeah, Lamar's playing tomorrow night. Can you imagine? That should be the entire press conference. The whole thing. So anyway, we'll get to that. Warriors looked awesome.
Yeah, awesome.
We asked for defense. We got it.
Yeah, you did.
Why do you say it like that?
Because the Clippers were bad. It's not like the Warriors were good on defense, but the Clippers could not score, and the Warriors didn't really score much either. It was kind of an ugly grinder game, and the thing that stuck with me was it was a classic Dubcon 3, like the old days where you come out in the third quarter and you put the hammer on a team and then you win. And, you know, James Harden in the third quarter was mostly bottled up. And when he wasn't good. And Kawhi missed shots. And even Zubats was about the only offense they had. And so, yeah, it's the NBA.
Yeah.
And the Warriors, I do think this team is going to have to win in a number of different ways. And last night they won ugly. And they won. And that game was an Ottoman game. After about 8 minutes of the third quarter, they were up 20, and that thing was over.
I was really excited about that. Really, really excited about it.
Yeah,
and
it was
I don't necessarily think we can automatically do the hey, the Clippers missed shots and they were bad. Like, I don't know sometimes how we get to decide when was a defensive performance good and when was it the fault of the offense, you know?
Like, it was both.
I mean, sure, they played a really good game, and that was a game where they were underdogs. I think that the feeling was there in the first half. You know, they're on a back-to-back. The Clippers are not. And the feeling in the first half was, oh, you played a great first quarter, but then you kind of let it slip away there at the end of the second quarter, and how the hell are you trailing at half? And, right, even Bob Fitzgerald last night was like, this thing has an ominous feel in that the Warriors are playing great, but they don't have enough of a lead. And then by halftime, they had no lead. And they came out early in the third, and they just kind of played, you know, a little bit of a boxing match for about 4 or 5 minutes, and it was a little bit of this back and forth. And then they went on an unbelievable run, and the Clippers could not score. The Warrior effort, this is where I think this whole strength in numbers thing plays in. You're seeing guys not have to play Herculean minutes and put in a Herculean effort. You've got reinforcements who are coming in, and doing the job. And I don't think the Warriors' start could have been any better to this year. Like, think about what they've achieved with this 4-1 start. With
4-1.
But not just 4-1. Look who they've beaten. Look at who this team has beaten already. And I'm sitting here going, damn, like this is a really, really good basketball team. They're really easy to root for. They've got all kinds of pieces that are coming at you, and we know that they're going to acquire more. Injury update on DeAnthony Melton today. They're ramping up activity and should see him hopefully in about 3 weeks or so. Seth Curry will be on the team by then too. I don't even know how they're going to figure out all the minutes. Buddy Hield only got 10 last night. You know, like, there are going to be nights where big-name players don't do a lot. But, wow, I could not be more impressed with them right now.
That was a fun win last night. And if you look at the game in totality, even with the Clippers leading at halftime and they were up by three, they shot 36%, 18 of 50, and they had 8 free throws, and the Warriors had 1. So, yeah, the Clippers had the lead, but they could not make a shot. And James Harden was able to get to the foul line and, you know, cause you the usual amount of problems. He was 7 of 7. And then in the third quarter, you stopped fouling him and you made them make shots, and they didn't make shots because they didn't make shots all night. And then you got your team rolling and you had a QP3. You had Jimmy Butler hit a couple more, and you started to really exert your will at home. And by the time you got to the end of the third quarter and early fourth, that thing was over. And so, yeah, it was close early, because the Clippers got to the foul line and James Harden was doing James Harden things. And I know you don't love him, and watching him, he's not my favorite player to watch, but he is an unbelievable modern day basketball player.
Oh, yeah, he's a savant.
He knows how to play. Sure. He knows how to get you into the spot where you're going to foul him. He's going to throw the beard back and you're going to lean. He's going to get you. If you want to talk about foul merchants all time, he is one of the top five easily all-time of foul merchants. And, yeah, good for you. It's like that guy at the farmer's market who is selling whatever he's selling, and there's a long line at his booth, and somebody across the way might be selling the same thing, but there's a long line at his booth because he's a foul merchant.
100%. And I
he's
get
elite.
It. Every fan in the NBA thinks that all the guys on the other teams are foul merchants, and you sort of blow it off when it's your team. Jimmy Butler's a foul merchant. There's no question about it. He searches that stuff out. Brandon Pajemski's a flopper. Like that, I get it. I hate it every time he hits the floor because he's trying to, again, you know my rule. I don't like basketball where you have players who overdo. I know everybody does this to a certain degree, but you overdo the whole idea of all I'm trying to do is get the official to think that something that didn't happen happened. I can't stand that stuff. Like, if it happens, sure, you can embellish to try to get a foul call, but, dude, your option A should be to put the ball in the hole. You know what I mean? Like, I don't ever look at Steph Curry and believe, like, he's not trying to put the ball in the hole. Put the ball in the hole. And then if you can embellish a little bit and get a foul call too, fine. But there are players in this league that literally look like they're not even interested in making a basket. They just want to get underneath your elbows.
The one metric I would love to have somebody track is FGAFD, field goal attempt falling down. Like, how many field goal attempts do you attempt where you actually wind up on the ground? Because Jordan Poole is a guy.
Jordan Poole did it a lot.
Steph Curry does it a lot when he goes to the basket, or even when he shoots a three. If he shoots a three, he'll kick out and he might fall down. James Harden falls down. LeBron James, who's 6'8", 250,
right. he falls
down. Like, I wonder how many of these people who are foul merchants, how many of your shot attempts result in you falling down?
Real quick, let's go to Chris in Sonoma, and then I want to make a point or at least ask a question about Jonathan Kuminga. Chris, welcome to the show. What's going on, man?
Hi, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. How you doing today?
What's up?
So what's up is, let's look at the Warriors' defense last night. Totally different from the first four games of the year, in my opinion. One of the big differences was Quinton Post was actually doing a pretty good job of battling inside, and if he couldn't secure a rebound, he was hitting some bodies to allow a teammate to get it. I think the main thing I want to say about the defense is the Warriors appeared to being gaps really good when Harden wanted to get the hoop. I don't remember Zubac scoring on any pick and roll. I could be wrong. Mostly on those pick and rolls, he went short roll, one dribble, and passed to somebody in the corner. So they kind of prevented him from doing much damage there. His damage was all done on putbacks. He's just a huge guy. But I saw today when reading an article, Post had, and I'm not a big plus-minus guy, but it does mean something. Plus 34, he looks like he's tougher. He looks like he's stronger. And I'd like to see him get a little more run in there because I think he's anchoring their defense a little bit.
Chris, thanks. I would say to a degree we can almost say this about all of the young players. They all look different, don't you think? I think the young players with the Warriors all look like you can see what they were working on in the offseason, which I think is wonderful. Quentin Post on the defensive side was a different player last night.
Yeah, he's bigger, and he's definitely much more able to be up, sturdy against people like Zubats and the rest of them.
Spartans football is under the lights Saturday at CEFCU Stadium. San Jose State takes on Hawaii at 7:30 p.m. presented by Habas Law. It's San Francisco Giants night, Bay Area baseball pride, and Spartans football all in one. And thanks to our partners at Habas Law, we're giving away tickets to a few lucky winners. Online is the place to enter, 957thegame.com, for your chance to win. We're sponsored by Moderna. We'll get to this Jonathan Kuminga question that I want to throw out there coming up next as well. Greg Cosell is at 3:15. This is Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Post, fights heel for the rebound and pulls it down. To Draymond, now to Curry at midcourt. Curry quickly back to Post. He'll shoot it again from distance. He hit it again because the Postman always rings twice.
Dub Nation, this is Quinton Post. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Thank you, Quinton. Even his reads are different than they were last year. Last year, they were very robotic.
Yep.
And this year, they are only somewhat robotic.
Much more crisp.
Yeah, 95.7 yep. The Game. Like, yeah, he got into it a little bit. A
little flavor.
You're just getting comfy.
A little confidence.
He's a pro now.
Yep.
I love it. I love it. I really love this team. What a start.
Pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Denver, Clippers, Lakers already notched on the belt.
The Clippers, they haven't beaten them in 2 years.
Exactly. That felt good last night. Like, Zubats is on the court. And
Zubats.
He was not a problem. No. You know what I mean? He wasn't.
He was a problem at times, but... Well, like, there weren't other problems.
Yeah, everyone's going to get theirs. I'm talking like Zubats looks like Aaron Gordon usually when he plays the Warriors. Aaron Gordon's a problem. Zubats was not a problem last night. He was out there, whatever. 14 and 13, I'll take it. That's fine. No worries there. That was also the best 9.5 rebound effort I've ever seen in my life.
From?
Jonathan Kuminga.
Solid.
Like, again... is that 5 boards or more in all of the games?
I believe so, yeah.
Did it anywhere he's had less than 5?
I don't think he had 5 versus Denver, but I might be wrong.
Okay. And again, what I'm looking at when I watch Jonathan Kuminga play basketball, there's a piece of 9 points that in a game like that, I love even more than if he were to go out there and score 19. And the reason is you're continuing to watch him make good decisions. This is all anybody ever wanted. That bounce pass to Curry last night. I mean, it's just, dude, he looks fantastic. He looks fantastic even when the numbers don't suggest it. And so I wanted to throw this out because I hear people flirting with it and nobody wants to go there. because they're kind of, I think everyone's sort of like either scared of what the reaction's going to be, or they just don't have the energy to get into the battle. But I want to throw it out there and see what you think. And 888-957-9570, let's hear you. The way Kuminga's playing this year, did he finally just start doing what the Warriors asked him to do? Or has this been there all along and he just needed the opportunity? How do you see it?
Probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
And I do think that it's been there all along. And I also think that there have been times where he's done things that aren't incorporated with what they want to do, and he's gotten a little bit more of a quick hook. And I think now that you're not getting the same quick hook, and he's got the contract, and I think he's playing more often like they want him to play, and so they're giving him a little bit more of a leash to go out there and play the way they want him to play. And you're not, right now, game five, you're not in a championship window. And you might be game 65, but right now, five games in, you can go ahead and let him play through mistakes. And last night, offensively, he had some plays where you were like, ooh, that's the old JK. Like a couple of plays where you would have liked him to make a different choice, but who cares? It's game five, and you were up, and you were in control almost the whole way. And so it's much more allowable. And you got to last year, you got to April, and he got back off the ankle, and he had Jimmy Butler, and he was doing things that you didn't want him to do, and he was not making the plays that you want him to make. And it's like, we have no tolerance. It's game 82. Yeah. We need to beat the Clippers, and we need to go in the playoffs and win these games. And so now you can be a little bit more lenient with mistakes. And I did think that last night might have been his worst of the five games. Oh. It was still a good game.
Yeah, I did.
But I don't, I mean, whatever. If you want to like rate the five games that he's played, it doesn't even matter. My point is not to denigrate what he did. My point is to say that what they're doing early in the year, they're allowing people to go out there and do things that are, you know, explorational in their nature.
See, I see it a little bit differently because to me, like the whole idea of allowing them to go make mistakes, I don't see that many mistakes. I really don't. I did in the first half of game one. I did in the first, and Steve Kerr spoke about it, and he said that Jonathan, well, all he wanted to see was that Jonathan knew that that was not the way to go. And he talked about how Jonathan had a very, very poor shot selection a couple of times and then immediately waved over at Steve, like, I got it. I know I messed that up. On we go. And that's the kind of thing that an organization, to me, is looking for. It's not that you're intolerant to mistakes. It's intolerant to the idea of mistakes when the person doesn't even know the mistakes that they're making. No one has time for that in any business. That's why you don't see 21-year-old show hosts in a business that everybody wants the younger listener. Why don't we just put young people on the air? They don't even know the mistakes they're making. They don't even know. It's any business. And so that, to me, yes, you're right. It's early in the season and all of that. But if it wasn't, he would still be out there because he's not making that many mistakes. And when he does, he knows the mistake that he made. So that's fine. Everyone does it. Gosh, Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler turned the ball over. Yeah. It's not like you're not allowed to make mistakes. It's that you have to, A, you have to be willing to do what your, in this case, employer wants you to do and your coworkers want you to do. You have to be willing to do it. And then when you do it wrong, you have to know where you messed up so that you can get better, right? Doesn't everybody say that? You don't want people making the same mistake 2, 3, 4, 5 times.
Right.
That's what I see. But I also think that Jonathan Kuminga has, it's almost become like politics. If you are a Democrat, you think Fox News lies. And if you're a Republican, you think CNN lies. And you might all be right. I have no idea. But, because I don't even watch that stuff anymore. But that's kind of the point. I would really love to dig in to what it is that people on both sides of the aisle think has taken place here. And I would love the middle ground to be, I see a player who has clearly grown into the other aspects of his game that the organization has been asking him to do. It's literally what he said with his words last night after that victory. But he deserves the credit for that. Like, he's still only 22, 23 years old, so he deserves the credit for that. But for instance, when I threw this out there, the first thing that comes in on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line, 510, JK has been that guy. Kerr tried to ruin him, but now we'll try to take credit for him. If I'm JK, I still want to leave.
Okay.
All right. Like, again,
I mean, he's allowed to want to leave, but they have him for this year and next year if they want.
Correct.
With a team option. And, you know, Steve Kerr ruining him, I don't think that that's 100% fair. I do think that Steve Kerr and the coaching staff did some sort of a disservice to him by not giving him consistent run, but they did that in the idea that they wanted to actually go out there and win games and win championships. And so it's a two-way street where, you know, you win a title his rookie year, and yeah, you're a rookie, and that's fine. You win the chip, and then the next year, you're chasing it, and the year after, you're chasing it. And then last year, you know, he got hurt, and so he didn't have that same run-up to where he could actually get that. And I do think that they gave him a certain amount of good faith with the contract this year. They could have just said, all right, qualifying offer. Yeah, go play on that. Play for 7.9, and we will treat you like a 10th man.
It's never going to happen.
No, but they could have. To the point of the texter, if they really wanted to, like, keep him down, they could have done that and said, all right, you play on the QO, and we're going to treat you like Guy Santos. We're going to give you Guy minutes, and we're going to give you, like, 6 to 8 minutes a game, and you'll get no time, and this and that. But they didn't think of him in that vein. So I don't believe that what the texter is saying is fair. I do think that there's a lot of push and pull in what the journey has been. You're not on a team that's terrible. So when you're on a good team as a developing player, you don't get 30 minutes a night guaranteed.
No, I just love the mere idea that players don't have to play the way a coach and, by the way, his teammates want him to play. Like, if you don't hear that this isn't just coming from Kerr, if you don't hear what these players, these Hall of Fame players, are saying after every game, I don't know where else to look. That's the good stuff. Is those guys talking about how Jonathan has come back this year? Draymond said it the other night and is now making winning plays. Winning plays. Not cooking. Okay? Not filling up his stat sheet. Making winning plays. That's all they've been asking. It's really not that complex. And Jonathan deserves a ton of credit for spending, as he put it, a lot of time this offseason focusing on those things. And now you can see it. I mean, the mere idea of Steve Kerr trying to ruin a player on his team is just a ridiculous idea. Why would any coach effectively go out with some sort of a vendetta and willfully try to ruin a player? JK has not been, as he puts it, that guy. He's not. He has not been a rebounder in his career. He has not. Go look up the numbers. Even in the minutes he's played, he has not been a rebounder. He is this year. He is this year. And then last night, those were his words. I'm focusing on chasing every single rebound. And I don't know about you all, but when I watch the Warriors play, you can see it. You can see his effort getting ramped up on all areas of the basketball floor. This is going to be the thing that makes the Warriors a real contender this year. So it's very exciting, and he deserves a ton of credit for it. But also, yeah, that's what the Warriors have been asking for a long time.
Right, and I don't know why it's coming now. I do think that it's partly the contract, and it's also partly the fact that he's now playing with Jimmy and Steph and Draymond in full. But, you know, if you're Jonathan Kuminga and you do have that big contract now, it's not huge, a long 9-figure deal, but it's a good deal. And now you have a chance to just go out there and play, and you play a role, and he's getting minutes and he's starting, and he definitely has much more, I think, of a crystallized, clear, firm role of, yep, like, this is what we want and this is what you can do, and go out there and do it.
Steph Curry last night on Kuminga and how he's impacting the game other than scoring.
He's going to get a lot of assignments on ball for the, you know, other teams, top scorer type vibes through the night on James. James had a big first half, but I felt like he had to work for a lot of it. He got to the foul line a good amount, but, you know, every possession, he had bodies on him, and JK was, you know, again, just trying to force him into a crowd and use his athleticism and strength. And, you know, we need that point of attack defender, you know, out there to take on that challenge, and he's been doing a great job of that. The scoring, whether it's there or not, you still have an impact on winning by doing the little things.
James Harden and Kawhi Leonard last night combined to go 13 of 32 from the field, only combined for 38 total points, and their team only scored 79. Jonathan Kuminga had a huge hand in that.
Yeah.
Even though he only scored 9 points.
In the first half, certainly, I mean, and James was, you know, getting to the foul line, and, you know, Kawhi was not sharp. They missed a lot of easy shots, and I'm going through every shot attempt right now the Clippers took, and there were so many shots that they had that were open shots that they missed, and so, yeah, you'll take it. It's not necessarily like, oh, boy, the D, they locked him down. The D was good, and especially Quentin Post. There was a lot of Quentin yep. Post, like, down low where he played good, solid defense, but the Clippers missed a bunch of open shots, but I do think the part that you're talking about, especially with James Harden, where Kuminga made it a little bit tougher on him when he was the primary defender. And, you know, Harden got to the foul line, and that's fine. But in the second half, they totally took him out of the game. And in the third quarter, they took the game over.
Jimmy Butler at the podium last night was asked to what level he's taken Kuminga under his wing.
There are so many people that are in his corner. I'm one of them. There's so many other individuals in this organization, on this team, on the coaching staff as well, that want him to be great. And it's okay to make mistakes. You just got to listen. You know, sometimes it may not always come off the way that you want it to, but I tell him, I promise, it's in good faith. Like, nobody's just yelling at you to yell at you. And he's happy. He's joyful. He knows that he's playing at a high level. He knows that everybody wants him to continue to do that. And I'm just here to make sure that he stays level-headed.
Whew. That's a big one.
Yeah.
I think I might want to play that again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Because do you hear what Jimmy is saying? You just have to listen. Listen. Even though it may not sound like what you want it to sound like, you have to listen and understand that those people who are talking to you are actually on your side. And then he says, Jonathan's happy. There's joy. That's a game changer. Listen to this again.
There are so many people that are in his corner. I'm one of them. There's so many other individuals in this organization, on this team, on the coaching staff as well, that want him to be great. And it's okay to make mistakes. You just got to listen. You know, sometimes it may not always come off the way that you want it to, but I tell him, I promise, it's in good faith. Like, nobody's just yelling at you to yell at you. And he's happy. He's joyful. He knows that he's playing at a high level. He knows that everybody wants him to continue to do that. And I'm just here to make sure that he stays level-headed.
That's a big one.
He's joyful.
Big 32 seconds from Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. I mean, basically, Jonathan is doing what he's supposed to do, and he's joyful. And, you know, we're not yelling at him just to yell at him. We're trying to help him, and he knows that. And so he's taking it in the right way, and he's getting better. And he's doing the things that they need him to do and things that he actually wants to do.
That's why I'm so excited about this 4-1 start. It's not like, I mean, the ebb and flow of a record.
Yeah.
Right? You're 4-1. I mean, some people are like, oh, well, why'd they look so crappy in Portland? Well, some of us want to, like, flick that one off because, right, 3 games, 4 nights, road trip. Al Horford's not playing all of a sudden. The guys look tired. They played in overtime the night before. Yeah, you can do that. Or you can be like, no, they need to look good every night. The ebb and flow of the record is one thing. My excitement is due to the fact that if you dive deep on the puzzle pieces, this team has it. They have more stuff. Steph and Jimmy don't look exhausted. They don't have to play 35 minutes and do this all by themselves. The younger players came back with another pitch, almost all of them, and more players are coming. This is depth. This fits. This is going to be a problem for other teams around the West.
Even when you get to spots where you might miss a guy or two guys, sure, or three guys, the depth, like you're talking about, like the whole idea of different pitches. And I look at Quentin Post last night where he played a lot of minutes and he played great defense. He was able to be a little bit of a rim protector and he was able to, you know, cause trouble for guys going to the basket and contain Zubats a little bit. And so, yeah, it's another piece. And like you talk about, another pitch where, again, Steph didn't have to have 34 for you to get a win. You had Steph, you had Jimmy, you had contributions from many of the people, and ultimately the defense is what won that game.
GPD is on the line. Let's go to Graham, Paul, Daddy, and Hayward. Hey, GPD, thanks for the call.
Hey, well, thank you guys, man. You always make my day. I love listening to all you guys, everybody.
Appreciate you, GPD.
Listen, I appreciate you too. You know, you guys are just like really hitting it all in the head from both sides, Dibs and you. You know what it really boils down to? And I use this example to everybody. Man, anybody that has a job, if you got skills and you feel undervalued and you feel you're not getting paid enough, you're not going to do the work as hard. When you start getting recognized and you start doing and people pay you, you're gonna work harder. I'm telling you, it has everything to do with him getting the bag. He's been sitting there for 4 years. And they've been Curry, and like you said, Mark, they're not there to not make you better. Steve Kerr doesn't have a vendetta to bring you down. He wants you to excel. Everybody wants, when you're a boss, when you're a jefe, you want your guys to be better always. But if they don't listen, and then you say, look, man, get on the sideline, man. Dude, you're not listening. You youngster, you're not listening. And then Jimmy, he's worth his money in gold.
Yep.
It's that wisdom of taking the youngster, because you always don't want to hear it from your mom or your dad. But when one of your peers or someone tells you, hey, check this out, bro. Let me tell you, man, we got your back. You just ain't listening. Look, just listen, and you will be better. We're not yelling at you for nothing. We yell at you because we love you, and we see your potential. You can do this. And then you pay him? Look at him. Now he's rebounding. Dude, they've been telling her to do that all along. He just wasn't doing it because he thought that, oh, you don't like me and blah, blah, blah. And you were right. Jimmy just came in, and then Kuminga was injured. And then when Kuminga got off of the injury, they didn't have no time to bring him in and give him a little bit of rope so he can make a mistake. Now we fresh in the season. We fresh with everybody. Dude, it's the sky's the limit now, baby. Bang, bang, Warrior game.
Yes, sir.
Grandpa Daddy.
GPD, that's well done. Bang, bang, Warrior game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that.
I think that fits for Jimmy and Kuminga too. Like, yep, they both got the bag and they both have that sense of like, okay, you're here now. This is what we need from both of you. So now go out there and do it. And Jimmy's bag is bigger than Jonathan's, but Jonathan's 22, 23. And so, yeah, come out here. And if you want the next bag, Jonathan, then go do this like 75 times and it'll be there.
Well, and I wonder if he realizes that the league, if it were based on these five games, would immediately pay him that 35 or whatever it was he wanted per year. If you were just going to spotlight these five games, like, the league is not stupid. Not all of the general managers. There's not like 30, 32 stupid general managers. They are looking at, like, there's a reason. Part of it was, I understand, it was a year where there wasn't a lot of cap space.
Yeah.
But nobody in the league thought that Jonathan was worth 5 years and $150, $60 million. Nobody thought that. I bet they would if you only showed them these five games. So he is going to make more. He is now going to be more valued around the league if he continues to play this way. But you have to trust. You have to put your trust, your faith in other people in order to achieve that. And I get that that's hard. That's hard for a lot of people. I think that's what's at the core of all this. I think Jonathan was like, I don't trust you. I need to score 25 a night. And the Warriors and Steve Kerr are like, you don't. You don't. You need to rebound. And he's like, no, I don't. I need to score.
Right.
And this went on for 3 years.
But when you have Jimmy and Draymond and Steph, and now you have minutes too, and yep. you can have an actual body of work where it's working for you and it's working for the team. Now you can get that confidence of like, yeah, this is what they want and this is what I want. I'm playing a lot and we're winning. So it becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
888-957-9570 is the number. We'll take your calls. Greg Cosell is in 20 minutes. We'll also circle back shortly to what I found to be one of the oddest press conferences that I've heard all year that happened down at 49ers camp today. Warriors Wednesday is brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.